Hi, this is Aurelia.
And this is Damien.
Welcome to the second episode of the Breakfast of Ideas podcast, a series presented in collaboration with the Center for Information Technology, Society and Law, and the Digital Society Initiative at the University of Zurich.
In this episode, we have the pleasure to hear from Natalie Pompe, who is a PhD student at the University of Zurich's Law Faculty. Natalie is going to present her research on the global governance of artificial intelligence.
So this was a project that I started at the Bergmann Klein Center in a team, and I continued somehow a bit further then. So basically we were looking at the global regulation of AI and how the law responds in a way that is tied to the concept of jurisdiction, and then how we're trying to discuss it globally across the jurisdiction and find legal harmonization. So I use a lens of interoperability. It's a concept of four layers. So there's a data layer, and then a technology layer, legal layer, and a social layer, and they interact each other in a dynamic manner. And so to explain the layers quickly, so on the data layer, you need to have interoperable systems to share the data and to have basically the technical infrastructure set up to have this exchange. And then on a technical level, interoperability is defined of interchangeable technology in terms of charger or whatever. Then with AI, we can make this example of facial recognition or sound recognition, and then there was new technology from this, basically, from arising from this core AI. So if you don't have this as an interoperable system, then you can't have a new interoperable system on a higher level, basically. And then the legal layer tries to regulate those new technologies, and different jurisdictions respond in a different way, and they also have another status quo in their country. And then social norms play into this on all layers, basically. So the social norms affect the legal norms. They affect how the technology is used, how the data is shared, and also available data is often used to actually innovate. So that's just briefly to explain the concept. So the concept doesn't mean that we are looking for a high interoperability on all layers, because if you have too much interoperability and not so much fragmentation, you can also hinder innovation. So it's more of like, where is the perfect balance? And then I make a few examples. So in the global governance of AI, these layers are dynamic and they interact with each other. So China has become the leader of facial recognition, actually, because they didn't have a right to your own image. So they could use all the images that were available online and could then really rapidly innovate and expand. And then this affects all the other layers. So the initial layer that allowed for this innovation was actually the legal layer. And then the technical and the data layer could allow for this innovation. And then it also affects the social norms, because then the Chinese people get used to this technology way earlier than everybody else. And then you need to look at how the law responds in China, which is also fairly different than other countries. So they were trying to, so in China, AI is used even in public restrooms. While if you try to do this in other countries where you have another connection to privacy, this would not have been possible, even coming from the social sphere. So I also claim that the privacy norms were very, very tied to the social norms in China. Even if we think about the in privacy of space, because space is limited or in comparison limited in other parts of the world. So also they do not have privacy or they don't understand privacy connected to democratic values or autonomy. So I also claim that the social norms very much also affected the affordance of privacy in the real world. And then another example that is a cybercrime convention is the Bulgaria Convention. So they tried, so every cybercrime is a cross-jurisdictional case due to its nature. So in the from the procedural side, it's very difficult to handle a case if you don't have procedural norms to share the data across jurisdictions. So that was the idea of the Bulgaria Convention. So the problem with the convention was that it was tied to some human rights. So the European Human Rights Charter was tied to it in one article, and then some countries couldn't really sign it. So one example was Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is one of the prime victims of cybercrimes. And they are still applying the law of Sharia. And the understanding of privacy and data protection law is fairly different. So privacy protects the individual's relationship to the divine, so that's the concept, and then applying this to data, it means the divine owns the data, and it's also far away from the understanding of that the individual is in charge of the control of the data, so that's why they couldn't sign the convention. So in the end, in reality, this harmonization then didn't really work out because not enough countries participated. So I use this as an example of they tried to make a harmonization, but then I believe the social norms or the cultural context have not been looked at close enough on the social layer to really make this legal harmonization possible, because what was actually necessary was like the data exchange was necessary to solve a cybercrime case. And then another example I would like to show is from Google. So if we imagine we now have this fragmentation on the legal layer, different innovation can happen based on this fragmentation that we saw, for instance, in China. So that's causing a problem to a global governance approach, because every country or different social groups already get in touch with some new innovation, whilst others still don't have access to the internet. So Google also saw this as a problem, and that's why they democratized some of their AI tools in a cloud. And basically they're available for startups, even with a learning course. And the idea is actually that you can, from those AI tools, create new innovation, and then underlying is a technology that is interoperable. So that was basically the idea. So this is, it could be kind of a self-regulation, or in, because their intention was to create more interoperability and make the technology more accessible. To conclude, one of the problems that create this challenge to a global governance of AI is a fragmentation in privacy norms. So on an international level, we do have the protection of privacy and family life as a human right. In the US, there's only sectoral privacy protection in some amendments. So there's not the understanding of privacy as a fundamental right that goes through all the other codes and regulations. And then in Switzerland and Germany, we even have the right to informational self-determination as a fundamental right that is very tied to democratic values and seen as that the individual is in control of their own data and in complete control. And this understanding also involves that the privacy rights have a public value and a public side, because only if we have a protected individual autonomy, we're capable of forming our own political opinion that is necessary for the progress of society and the democracy. And then the GDPR is somewhere in between. It also starts from the notion of autonomy, and then privacy is used as a protector of individual autonomy, but it doesn't go as far as Switzerland and Germany. It says there's a right to informational self-determination. And then the UK also has a different approach. It's more privacy understood as the right to be alone, to be left alone, and not so much that you're in complete control of your own data and your own autonomy. Yeah, so I see this as one of the main problems to a global governance approach of AI regulation. And then from a democratic theory, where we see that an informational basis is necessary to have an inclusive dialogue. So if we apply this to a global governance approach, we have difficulties that the access to the technology is not there. And there's the fragmentation on the technology layer, because the access to the technology creates the actual possibility to form an opinion about it. So there's also this American scholars that say the access to an experience creates a social glue. So if we imagine, I think it's 3 billion people that don't have access to the internet. So it's an immense fragmentation on the technical level that is a challenge. And then the media has also a role to create this informational basis, but it's somehow difficult to explain new innovation and technology through the media when there's no access for some people. And then the role of the citizen versus the role as a private person is also a very European understanding. That is also not a global consensus for this. It's very much tied to our understanding of democracy. And there's also, we see this in environmental law, we also have the challenge to find a global regulation. And there's a right to participate in the European Parliament and you have a hearing, a right to be heard at all different levels. So it's established procedural rights to participate in these institutions, and now once looked at how it's being used, and it's used by companies who could be affected by higher standard of environmental protection laws, and basically by no citizen. So then I also thought the role of the citizen as part of being having an influence on the regulation is just not present and not understood this way. So to conclude, there's a dynamic feedback on different layers when we look at the global governance of AI and new technologies. So this needs to be taken into account. And then informed citizenship will be key, but is yet to be established. And one key aspect is to create more accessibility to the new technologies.
Thank you, Natalie, for doing this. First of all, thank you very much for sharing this research project with us. The talk was really interesting. Thanks a lot. In the Breakfast of Ideas discussion, many interesting points were raised, and we would like to discuss some of those points with you. You mentioned the difficulties when it comes to finding agreements on legal concept, such as what a right to privacy should consist of. Do you think we should try to achieve harmonization by focusing more on technical solutions rather than trying to find ways to harmonize legal concepts or even fundamental rights?
Okay, so thank you for the question. So the technical innovation happens so rapidly and in a very unpredictable manner. And I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is how can we harness the benefits of innovation on a global scale? And this requires a degree of interoperability and a full harmonized legal framework, in my opinion. So the question is, how can we find the right balance between legal harmonized frameworks and enough space for innovation? Because a complete harmonized legal framework will also hinder innovation. And I believe that we need to pave the way for a global discourse on this subject matter. And so that we harness the benefits of innovation in a way that aligns with democratic values such as inclusion, protection of minorities, and fairness, individual autonomy. And to achieve this, we need to have an informational basis in order to have this discussion, and with every aspect of AI regulation, but also other technical regulations, very different interests on different layers are at stake. So I want to make another example of AI algorithms in health, in the health sector. So there's one startup company that created a self-learning algorithm that detects early stage cancer with a better error rate than any other doctor at the moment. So if we look at this innovation that could create in areas where health, the governmental health system is not very developed, this innovation could make a big difference, as in this stage of the checkup, not a doctor is required anymore. So if we look at the interests that are at stake in this example, it would be economical interests of a country, health interests of individuals, but then also economic interests of doctors that are already educated. So I think this is such complex questions that we need to address, and to look at those issues on four different layers is just a way to reduce the complexity. So I feel like it's just a method to have a conversation.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you describe that this research project kind of has this lens, this approach with these four layers to analyze just global regulation of emerging technologies. And so you say that you applied this lens to AI specifically. Where else would you see this approach as successful? Have you applied that method for different technologies as well?
So in my dissertation, I analyze how algorithmic information distribution affects democratic will-building processes. I didn't apply it in the dissertations, in the dissertation itself, but it helped me to come to the, yeah, to kind of the different sectors I need to address. So I can walk you through the different layers of this legal challenge. So the personalized information distribution has various concerns are raised in this with this challenge. So the democratic processes have certain assumptions that should be given in a society. So the first would be there's a shared informational basis in the collective, and then second, there's the assumption that the individual is exposed to contradicting information in the public sphere, and then third, that the informational self-determination is protected, which will hinder manipulation and notching to an extent that is not legitimate anymore. So algorithmic information distribution affects all three assumptions. So a filter bubble or an echo chamber is created because in the digital sphere, it is possible to completely avoid political information or to receive very fragmented in political information. And then informational self-determination is limited by algorithms acting as actors in distributing information because they are not public watchdogs compared to traditional media outlets, and they function on a market-based incentive. So if I observe this this challenge or this phenomena on four different layers, on a data layer, it's a transnational challenge, and the data privacy regulation is tied to the concept of jurisdiction. And then informational self-determination is only in Germany and Switzerland a fundamental right. So in order to regulate the undesired consequence of personalized information distribution on a legal layer would be very difficult. Then the technical layer is basically the cause of the consequences that then arise on the social legal layer. And then there are also technical solutions that have been developed, also are in place already. Examples are TrackMeNot, which is an application, or there's various apps where you can receive information that are outside your bubble, for instance. And then on the social layer, I actually see a lot of potential to counterbalance the undesired consequences, because in the outside the digital sphere and the physical sphere, we can still be exposed to very contradicting opinions in the exchange. Mm-hmm. So this would be another example to just apply a lens to a challenge that arises in the digital sphere.
That's very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. You've just heard from Natalie Pompe, a PhD student from the Law Department at the University of Zurich. On behalf of Damien and myself, thank you for listening to the Breakfast of Ideas podcast, a co-production of the Center for Information Technology, Society and Law, and the Digital Society Initiative at the University of Zurich. Editing, mixing and music by Eric Larieux. The production team would like to thank the graduate campus of the University of Zurich for funding the Breakfast of Ideas seminars in this podcast series.